Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Text for today is from the Gospel according to St. Mark, the 4th chapter. You may be seated. My dear friends in Christ, I don't know if you have noticed, especially as we've returned to our hymnals, how much of what we do on a Sunday morning centers around the Word of God. From the very beginning to the very end of the service, everything is speaking the Word of God back to God. In fact, one of the great joys of using the hymnals is at each part of the service, it will tell you exactly what text of the Scriptures that piece is based on, where those words come from, why we say what we say. That's a beautiful thing about our new hymnals. Our prior hymnals didn't really have that, and I love it about this Lutheran service book. It is just fantastic, because if you are paying attention, even to the hymns, you will see every place that the Scriptures pop up that we speak them back to God. We center our lives, especially in worship, around the Word of God. And yet, I think that it is probably one of the easiest things to disregard. When I was a child, I resonated, and I still do, with music. For some reason, music just hits me all in the feels. And especially as I became older, the liturgical music that we sang became that for me. I grasped onto it. I held onto it. And I loved that music. And in fact, I think if pressed, I probably could go through Divine Service Setting 3. You know, the one that we did just a few weeks ago for Pentecost? Divine Service Setting 3. I think I could probably sing that whole thing from memory and not have my cheat sheets in front of me. I'm not sure. Don't test me on that. But that liturgical music hit me, and I loved it. And hymns hit me too. And when I thought about church, and still I think it is when I think about church, it's the music that probably stands out the most to me. I love what we do here. I love that we sing all together these hymns, these beautiful, glorious hymns. I love that we sing all of the liturgical music. I think it's wonderful, because not every church does that. And the fact that we do that here is just incredible. But if I'm honest with myself, the first thing that pops up in my head is that, and not that we're centered around the Word of God. And I'm a preacher. I mean, the Word of God is my life. I spend time studying it and translating it and writing the Word of God down in a sermon so that you know what it is that God would have you know. And when I think about my life in the church, that's not the first thing I usually think about. It's kind of strange, isn't it? That we just miss the Word here and there. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's our own sin that says, don't focus on that. Focus on all the trappings of the church first. I don't know if it's the devil leading me astray. I don't know if it's maybe just the fact that it's so pervasive that you just kind of ignore it, like a white noise machine, right? Where it's producing so much noise and so much so that you don't even notice it after a while. I think it's at least some part of all of those, perhaps. Because the Word of God is the most important thing. It is the thing that composes everything that we do in our churches, here and across the world and throughout time. Without the Word, there is no church. Without the Word, there is no baptism. It's just water. Without the Word, there is no Lord's Supper. It is just bread and wine. Without the Word, there is no forgiveness. It's just a man speaking in front of you. The Word of God is what composes our entire life as Christians. And yet, we seem to ignore it. I live up in Fredonia, which many of you know. It's a To get home, I drive by a whole lot of farms. And it's wonderful. I love those farms. And I know that this is weird. I love everything about them. I love the smell of the soil when it's tilled. I love the smell of the cows on a hot summer day. I know that's weird. I love these farms. But I was driving by them the other day, and I remembered the old adage that I had when I was visiting my grandmother in Wisconsin so many years ago, that the corn would be knee-high by the 4th of July. But what do you do in a season when the corn is barely ankle-height by the middle of June? It's been a dry, dry season, hasn't it? I read somewhere that Milwaukee itself is short 6 inches over our normal rainfall. We are, as they are saying, in drought conditions. We pray to our God for seasonable weather, and so far, He has seen fit not to give it to us. Our farmers are going to be hurting unless some rain comes forth, unless God relents from whatever it is that He has been doing and gives us the rain that we so richly need in this world and our ground and even in our lives. The Word is a very similar thing. That the Word is, when it is gone, parches the ground. When the Word is withdrawn by God, everything begins to dry up. It begins to slow in its growth. When the Word is gone, everything is not as it should be. I look at the state of our world today, and I wonder to myself, and well, now this morning also to you, are we in the state that we are in our society, in our culture, where we're so accepting of such horrible, heinous sins against the image of God? Are we hurting for the Word? Is it because our churches over the past 100 years have not preached the Word of God in all of its truth and all of its purity, and instead have chased after the fads that the world tells it are good? I wonder, because I look at the churches that are out there, and I look and I see a lack of the Word. I see a lot of things that look kind of cool. I see a lot of things that sound really nice, but I don't hear the Word of God. Could it be that we have forgotten the Word of God? I would argue that if we are forgetting it in our daily lives, then the answer for our society is an overwhelming yes. Because if we are not hearing it, how can we then have feet to go and bring the Word to those who are hurting? How can we bring the Word to a hurting world? We can't. That is why it is so important that we not give up the gathering together, to spend our time together gathered around the Word and our Lord's sacraments, which are the Word in a physical form, because then we will be strengthened to preach the Word to that hurting world. I'm not saying that it's not within God's plan. God has a definite plan and foreknowledge of all things that would happen. He does. Luther picked this up when he said that the gospel is like a passing rain shower, spending its time in one place and then moving on toward another. And we have seen that throughout the history of the world. We have seen how the Word takes root in a certain place and grows and flourishes, and then it's gone. Think back to the Reformation as Luther reclaimed the Word of God for the people, how people flocked to this Word and spent their time in God's Word hearing it. And think of how it grew. And now, if you know anything about European religious standing or social politics, you would know that, well, Europe is becoming a vast wasteland when it comes to the Word. And think then, too, of all those who came over to America, all those who brought the Word of God. And yes, there were great atrocities when people came here. We know this. But think of the vigor that people came with the Word. Even in our Lutheran church, one thing that we were known for in the 1800s was spreading God's word to all people we could find. We would grab all the Germans who came off the boat, bring them into our churches, and then we would send them out. In fact, we had one of the most vivacious American Indian ministry objectives. In fact, there was even a man, I believe it was Frederick Winnikin, who went all through Wisconsin and Michigan with an organ on his back, preaching the word to all the tribes that he could find and starting churches among them. We still have a very vibrant Native American ministry today, which is very cool. But now think of our America 100, 200 years, 300 years after we've been here. And the word is, again, absent. Think of all the people that you see on TV. Think of the messages that you hear from these pastors. Think of the people that you know in your lives. Are they Christians centered in the word? Or are they nominal Christians centered in some type of message that is not the word? I can't tell you how many people I interact with on a daily, weekly basis who claim to be Christian, who talk about the different signs that they are under in the skies, that talk about healing crystals, that talk about the idea that, well, a woman's choice is a woman's choice. We have let our culture infect our churches. And because of that, the word is passing away. It may be that our Lord is moving his rain shower from America into other lands. And in fact, we see actually even just among the Lutheran church, the fastest growing place that the word is taking root is in Africa, in Madagascar, and in Ethiopia and Kenya. These are the fastest growing Lutheran church bodies in the world. Madagascar, so much so that they have to start a new church every 2 weeks because their churches are being filled too quickly. Could it be that God has moved his rain shower of the word from here to there? God be praised if he has. And that should cause us a little bit of concern, though, too. Joy for all those new converts coming to faith in Jesus Christ, and sorrow over what it is that is happening in our very own land. It is good to be patriotic. It is good to think of America as a wonderful and God-blessed place, because it truly is in so many ways. But I can tell you, and I think that you know this, that this land is not blessed above every and other land in the world. This land is not special that God has given it out of some covenant to its people here. This land was special because we were at one time united under one purpose, the word. And that is passing away. And so we sorrow over this. But we still do not give up hope. We still do not give up hope. Because our citizenship is not of this world, but of the world which is to come. Jesus, in fact, brings this out today as he's speaking to us in the gospel according to St. Mark, where he says, the kingdom of God. He doesn't say, the nations are like. He says, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. The kingdom of God. Now, we often think about this as like the heavenly place, right, where God is reigning and ruling with Jesus at his right hand, and they send the Spirit. And that's great. That is the kingdom of God. But the kingdom of God is everywhere that Jesus is. And as Jesus walked this earth, you could see almost the kingdom of God following in his train. And still today, the kingdom of God is everywhere where Jesus is, which is here this morning. Because Jesus has promised us when we are gathered around his word, where two or more are gathered to pray, praise, and give thanks, then our Lord Jesus Christ is here. And so this morning, this is an embassy of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is right here, right now. And it is throughout this land, in every church that is properly preaching his word and properly administering the sacraments. The kingdom of God, as if a man were to scatter seed out on the ground. a typical way of farming, to spread that seed out, to broadcast it, and have it get into the ground and take root. The man sleeps and he rises each night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows, he knows not how. When we go out and we spread the word, whether it is in this place or whether it is out into the world, the seed grows. And we don't know how it does that. We don't know how it does that. Because as far as we know, the earth by itself produces. First, it brings forth the blade from the seed, and then the ear, and then the full grain in the ear, and then finally it grows to its ripeness, where when we see that, then we will bring in the harvest. And that is how the Word of God also spreads. We don't understand how it is that seeds really are able to have that spermogenesis they talk about, where it comes forth as a whole life out of a single seed. We don't know. And we don't know how the Word of God is going to affect those around us either. We spread the Word of God as we speak to our friends and our families and our neighbors. We spread the Word of God to strangers in the grocery store, in the marketplace, in the DMV, wherever it may be. And the Word of God will do what it will. If the Word of God falls on hard soil, then it will not sprout. But if it does fall on that fertile soil, our Lord, the Holy Spirit, will cause it to grow in them. And though you may not ever see what that harvest looks like, it still may be there. You let the Lord take in the harvest. You go out and spread the word. We just sang that our lives, we pray to our God that our lives would be a high doxology. That is a glorious word. How can our life be a glorious word? It is a glorious word by being centered in the Word of God, and specifically this word, that our Lord Jesus Christ has died for you, that he has taken away your sin, that he has given to you his righteousness, and that he welcomes you to live forever in him. When your life is centered in this, you will live in a doxological way. You will live in a way that gives glory to God in everything that you do, whether you realize it or not. When you are centered in God's word and what Christ has done for you on the cross, you will live in a glorious life. The kingdom of God, it's like a mustard seed. Now, I don't know if that's really the smallest seed. I think it was to Jesus that as he lived back then, that was a very small seed. Certainly not one of those big bulbs that you plant, but just a tiny little. If I were to hold it up right here, none of you would be able to see it. The kingdom of God is like such a thing, where when it is planted in the ground, it is one of the largest plants that could grow. The kingdom of God is centered around the word. That doesn't seem like much, because we use words every day, don't we? We use them in all kinds of ways. We use them to demonstrate our love for other people. We demonstrate our callousness towards other people. Maybe we even use them to demonstrate our vulgarity. See, words don't really seem to do a whole lot. But that's why the kingdom of God is like that mustard seed, small and unassuming. And though the words are words, they're words that are of our language, when our Lord decides to use these words to grow within a person, they become the greatest thing in the world. They become larger than anything else. They come and they take over all things in the garden and give root to all life. That's the Word of God. And it's not because there's a magical incantation. You know, I don't stand up here and say, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and magically call down God from heaven. That is a reminder of your baptism. They are simple words, but they are there to show that we are gathered around our Lord God. And when I'm up there at communion and I speak the words of institution on the night when our Jesus was betrayed, It's not a magical word. It doesn't draw God down out of heaven to fill the bread and the wine and make it himself. Instead, they are words that our Lord has given to us to give back to him and to show us that, well, by these words, he is here. They're not magic. The word of God is not magic. It is mystical. It's not magic to be wielded by sorcerers and wizards and witches. It is, in fact, mystical to be wielded by the priests of God, of which you are one. To use his word, to use the power of his word, that is the word of God. A powerful, mystical, mysterious, unknown thing. And yet our Lord has given his word to you that you would know it. That you would hold on to it, that you would hold fast to it, that you would never let it go. The word of God is good. And it is something that we should center all of our beings in. We could be like what we saw in our Old Testament lesson, where God, with a lack of the word, causes us to dry up and to shrivel. Or we could be like what we see in our New Testament, where we see that the Lord causes us to grow. We do not know what our Lord has in store for our most gracious land in this place. We do not know what our Lord is giving to us here now, but we do know what he's given to us in our church. We do know what he has given to his church always and forever. We know that he will deliver to you the forgiveness of sins by the very death of Christ, and he will deliver that very same thing to every person who walks in the doors of his church. That is what our Lord promises. That is what our Lord will give, because that our Lord is good. The word is right. The word is efficacious. The word does all things according to God's will. Let us then center our lives according to God's word, that we would hold fast to it, that we would go out to the nations and spread his message to all people, that we would tell of the very love that we have in Christ Jesus, the love of God toward us to save us sinners and bring to us something greater than this life. This world is going to have all of its trials and tribulations. It is going to shake and shudder and scream and writhe just like a woman in childbearing does. But we stand firm, knowing that there is a greater promise to come, something greater than what we see here. A promise of a new tent, as Paul says, a promise of new flesh, of new life. And we want that for all. Let us then commit ourselves, forgiven by Christ and led forth in the Spirit. Let us commit ourselves to bringing his word to all those whom we love. At least let's start there and move into the rest of the world to pray that our Lord would bring his word back to this hurting world in which we live. Let us pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.